This is an advertisement from BetterHelp Therapy Online.
It's Charlene and Ellie here from the Home or Drink podcast, and sometimes we tend to compare our lives to others.
I know social media definitely does that for me. You also hear the phrase, comparison is the thief of joy, and it is so true. Therapy can help you focus on what you want instead of what others have, so you can start living your best life.
I don't know how many times I've said therapy on this podcast.
Yes.
I literally, every dilemma comes in. There's nothing that you can't go to therapy for. Like, it just can help every problem you have.
There's no specific one thing that you have to go for.
Yeah, and I think people think you only have to go for like these huge dramatic things in your life, but it can be just comparing yourself online. True. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a registered therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
With over 1,000 therapists in the UK already, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Our listeners can get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/HMD. That's betterhelp.com/HMD. Go loud.
And then I went to Paris and I just went to every agency, showed my book. Everyone hated it because it's from Ireland. And
really?
Because they don't like any makeup.
Was there loads of blue rinse in it and all?
No, it was a book of grannies. Good morning, J-Lo. And I was in the other room, so I didn't hear. And she was like, she just started laughing, apparently. Well, that's what he said.
Okay. Oh.
I've learned so much. Everything I know in business is because of Kris
Jenner.
It's
from her. She's like the smartest person ever.
Yeah, she is.
How is she in real life? Like, what's she like?
Welcome to Home or Drink with Charlene and Ellie. Our podcast is like a group chat between your best friends, girls' bathroom on a night out where you spill it all.
Yes.
All the gossip, all the dilemmas, all the life lessons.
Everything.
All the quotes come out in the girls' bathroom.
They really do.
They do. On this week's episode, we are joined by hairstylist to the stars, Andrew Fitzsimons. He talks about getting started in hairdressing, what it's like in the industry, the major celebs he has worked with, like the people he has touched heads of.
Yeah.
It's actually insane. He's also talking about signing NDAs, creating his own brand, and the hairstyle that he hates the most.
Yep. For phone a friend, our followers also help with advice for a listener who went on her boyfriend's phone. We always get these. It's like, is it right? Is it wrong? She went on her boyfriend's phone and found out that he had been talking about how good looking another girl was in his group chat. In her latest post, he doesn't follow her though. So, should the listener bring it up or can she say anything because she was actually snooping? So, enjoy.
Enjoy. I need to read more quotes today. I haven't read them in a while.
I'd like a little quote book.
Yeah, I have one.
Do you?
Mm.
Like a little small one that you can just bring with you. I don't know.
I had one off Demi Lovato. It was like 365 days of life or something.
And it was just loads of quotes?
Yeah, but like she definitely didn't write it herself.
No, she didn't. They're all off the Googles. Yeah.
Do you remember, did you read the Hannah Montana, the Miley Cyrus book when you were younger?
No.
Oh my God, it was like so good. I actually bought it like a few years ago and read it again.
What? You only bought it a few days ago?
A few years ago.
I thought you said a few days ago. I was like, what?
I loved it.
Did you? What was it about?
Her life.
What's it called? Autobiography.
Yeah, it was really interesting. Like she didn't get on with your one who played Lily and all for like years.
No way.
Yeah, like years of the show.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Homework drinks out for you though every Wednesday. moving on. We also have bonus episodes on Mondays at 12 as well. And then our video is Thursdays at 12. So we have a lot of different days. But we have a full video now on YouTube. If you want to watch us as well as seeing us. I think it's weird watching now that I've listened before. Now when I watch me and Daniel's episode, I was like, oh my God, it's so weird watching me do that because we didn't before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was watching the episode with Kira and Ava and I was just like, what is wrong with me?
Why?
I don't know what way I did my hair that day, but it was absolutely ill.
You just had the mic just here.
Yeah, it was just lying there. Someone actually commented on the YouTube being like, maybe don't lean the mic up, Ellie. I was like, all right, sorry.
Because I think it was, it was rubbing off or something, wasn't it? I didn't know.
But,
how's your week been?
Good. I got little butterflies in my belly.
Did you?
There. Yeah. Because I know you're going to ask me.
I'm not going to ask you anything you don't want.
I'm having a bloody great week, I tell you.
Good. A
great
glad.
Week, yeah.
Lots of rosé.
Lots of rosé. 4 bottles of rosé, I think. Yeah, went to Mammy O. It was lovely.
I forgot you went there. What'd you get?
Bit of everything. Yeah, that's what I like.
Sarah chicken?
No, we did the beef and black bean.
Mm.
Lovely.
I'd love that now.
Some prawn toast, chicken satay, these little spring roll things. Mm. Don't really know. Oh, duck spring rolls, I think they were.
Mamio is like the only place, well, one of the only places that reminds you of like somewhere that could be in London.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Very nice.
It's actually not expensive either. That much.
Yeah.
Not like very unreasonable.
No. I only kind of realised, I was there once before, but I only kind of realised last night how big the inside of it like is.
Yeah, massive.
Like,
yeah. Why did you sit on the outside? In the
little like terrace area, oh, or whatever.
Yeah. No, if you go again, like everyone make sure you go in.
In the inside.
Yeah.
He was like, I booked a table for inside, but I don't know why we're sitting here. So it's a big huge tree in there. I was like, yeah.
Oh, so you were in the tree? Oh, you weren't?
No, we weren't in where the big tree was.
Yeah.
We were just sitting
It's real, isn't it? The tree.
Is it?
I think so.
Shut up.
Pretty sure, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Didn't know that.
What have I done this week? I always get my car serviced.
Yeah, how'd you get on?
Good.
She sent me a voice note and she was like, Ellie, I hope that they don't need to go to the boot because everything just got fucked.
Because I just thought everything is good. If they opened the boot, it would just been like an avalanche of everything falling out. Had a puncture. Remember you got your car punctured?
Yeah.
It was in the same week. Mine started, tire thing came up on my dash. It was like...
The pressure, wasn't it?
The pressure, yeah. No, yeah, so it was going down. So I kept filling back up and it kept going down. So my dad was like, it's obviously a slow puncture.
Oh, sure.
There was a nail sticking in it.
Was there?
Yeah.
So how long are you driving on it with a nail? Weeks?
Yeah.
Shut up, Sharon.
It's fine. I think it must have been on the outside tube.
Okay.
Because isn't there like an inside? Isn't there something where you'd have to replace the whole tyre? But then they would just have to fix it.
Yeah, mine just got fixed. They
washed and hoovered it.
Yeah, I think they do that in their service anyway.
I didn't know that.
Did you not?
I was expecting that. So I was like,
were you shocked?
I didn't know where my car was. And also my alloys are silver, but they were literally black.
Were they?
From being dirty. Like... So then I came out, I was like, where's my car? And it was, my car, just re-clean.
It's just clean.
I didn't even recognize it. Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah. So it was good.
Were you just chilling while it was getting done?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, my song is on Spotify.
How fun.
Since today.
Woo.
Well, by the time it's come out, it'll be up a while.
Like, your name is on Spotify.
I know.
That is so cool.
And it's on Apple Music, TikTok Music, Instagram Music for, like, Reels and whatever else, so...
So fun.
Everyone uses.
So proud of you.
I actually saw Jamelia's going on. Jamelia's the original. Sorry, there's an original singer of the song. Jamelia covered it.
Okay.
And then I covered it. But Jamelia's going on Celebs Go Dating now.
No way.
Yeah, apparently, yeah. Saw a video this morning.
Bloody love her.
Yeah.
Used to belt out Thank You in the car.
What's Thank You again?
You'd know it. I'm not singing it. I can't.
Is it out?
Every last bruise you gave me, but every time I sat in tears.
Oh, I don't know that.
Oh, I used to belt that in the car.
I think that's the only song I knew. Which
As was... if I was heartbroken and I'd be like, happy yeah. you. But oh. I just love it. Great song.
She's a great singer.
She's bloody amazing.
But I think the original singer is Christine.
Have you heard her sing it?
No.
No.
It's quite similar though, I think.
Yeah.
I think she just was like, fuck it, I'll do a cover. People keep commenting on my TikToks if I ever post it, being like, my song, they're like, it's a cover.
You're correct.
Your like, so what am I meant to say? My new cover.
My new cover is it. Oh,
I know it's not right. Like, just.
You never claimed it was yours. Like, do you know what I mean?
But also, like, people don't realise a lot of songs are covers.
Covers, yeah.
And you don't say my new cover song.
Sure, look at the whole JoJo Siwa thing. Her song.
The camera one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a whole song already.
I know.
The whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I saw her doing an interview. She was like, I never claimed to write that song or like,
no.
I never said no. It was mine.
People just want something to say. Actually, I had an experience with someone this week. She texted me and I replied going, ha, you're free. Because
I love comedy.
The message she was sent freak so bizarre.
Is amazing.
I literally can't capitalize, ha, you're free.
Freak.
Because she what? Like, I'm sorry, no one fucking normal is texting people they don't know abuse. And she deleted her messages and blocked me.
She blocked you?
Yeah.
I'd say thanks, she did me a favour.
Thanks, girl.
Thanks,
what?
Girl.
I was like, what? Like, unsent them.
What?
So it looks like I just text her saying, you're free.
You're free. She's going to screenshot that and be like, Charlene Murphy.
No, I know. No, I know. That's what I was thinking. But no.
What the hell?
Just say you're unhappy with your life, like, honestly.
What was she saying to you? Like, just...
It was, do you think you're... You say your long-distance relationship is perfect. You think that he's not out with people every week. Ha. And loads of laughing. He says, this woman is old enough to be my mother.
Ah, stop.
Bear in mind. A real page.
Would you be well?
Would you be fucking well?
What?
I know. Just say your husband hates you.
Yeah. Just admit it.
I'm sorry.
Do us a favour.
Honestly. Fucking weird.
No,
it?
I hate.
What kick does someone... Maybe it's like a thing where when someone applies, it feels real. Mm. That you're like, oh shit, they actually would see
this. Like, does she just think she was like venting in the moment or something, then you reply and you're like, fuck.
But like, imagine being so... Like, when you think about it, imagine finding out someone you're with gives people hate online. That's embarrassing.
Imagine knowing someone that... Or like, imagine your mom.
Imagine my mom. You know, I'd call her a big freak too.
Like, what? There's someone that does that on TikTok to me all the time. Well, over the last few days, it's just been abuse, abuse, abuse in the TikTok comments. But I just love going back being like, you need a hobby, love. Like, are you okay?
Sometimes they don't even follow you. And so you literally look at my name.
I was like, you're obsessed with me. Leave me a lot. They commented on a reel I did. A job I did. Like, I clearly said it was a job or whatever. And they were like, oh, how much did they pay you for this? So I wrote the longest, biggest number. I couldn't even read the number. It was so long. I was like, a million, bajillion, quadrillion euro.
No, millionaire.
Like, are you happy now? And the look, people love... telling me that I didn't pay for something when I did. Like, it aggravates. I don't know why I get that.
I know.
I get it so much on my flight to New York. There's no way you paid for this and all. I'm like, do you want the receipt? I literally have a receipt.
Why, they try to say that you should have put it as an ad?
Yeah. Because Aer Lingus has commented on the TikTok saying enjoy your flight or whatever. Yeah. And someone was like, mad fraudsters, look at this fake advertising and all. I was like,
wish it was a fucking ad.
That's why. I fucking wish I didn't pay for it. Are you mad? What? They love telling me that I didn't pay for things when I do.
It's weird. We just have to find our own coping mechanisms for dealing with people like that.
Yeah, the podcast.
I just like.
Give out with.
Yeah. Or just like. Sometimes I just like replying the very odd time.
I love it.
Like with that, like, I was like, because it's not even a fake page. I was like, it's a real page. She literally is my mother's age.
Yeah.
And she's saying that. I'm like, you clearly, I actually goes, you're a freak. And I'm sorry that, I hope you find healing with wherever you're going.
Yeah,
through.
I love.
That's what
giving
I said.
Giving them love back and then, annoys them
and
more.
And then she, well, I call her a freak and then said, hope love you. Yeah. But I mean both of them.
Entitled.
She is a freak, but I hope she heals.
Yeah. Weirdo.
Sometimes I'm sorry, I'm not being... push over anymore.
No.
Just sometimes. Just but not yesterday. Maybe just today. So this week we are delighted to be joined by one of Hollywood's top celebrity hairstylists and online influencer, Andrew Fitzsimons. Welcome to Home I Drink.
What?
The only.
The only.
The only hairstylist in the world.
Yeah. And the only guest that has brought us alcohol.
So we're all having a little drink.
But wait. Hold on, but it's my drink. No one's brought alcohol before.
Look,
no.
We're 120. How many episodes? 125 episodes, I think. More.
Do you know what? I said on the way, I was like, do you know what? Let me get some Smirnoff Ices. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have a Smirnoff Ice. And then I was like, wait, a fat frog. Because he used to mix, like back in my day, back in the 1800s when I lived in Ireland, used to mix a Smirnoff Ice, Blue Wicked and an orange Bacardi Breezer and be puking green.
Love. Because it would turn, of course.
Yeah.
And would you be drunk off it?
I'd be pissed. Shit-faced. My fucking
I think it's
bit.
When you mix anything, it just turns into...
Well, back then, I was like, I left Ireland when I was like 17, so I was probably about 15 at the time and I was just started drinking, so it was just a lot of green puke.
Where would you have drank, like, back in the day?
Am I going to name and shame all the establishments that underage homosexuals?
No, but like we've been in parks and stuff.
Brussels. Well, I used to work in Grafton Street, so I used to sneak into Brussels.
Okay.
I was only caught once or twice. Where did I go? Well, the George. There used to be a gay night called Glitz at Break for the Border. Is Break for the Border still there? No.
I don't know.
This is the late 1800s. there was a night called Glitz. Panty Bar wasn't there. The Front Lounge. That's still there. Front
Line.
No, it's not. Yeah, it is. It is. You know where Reed, John, or wherever the. Across from City Hall. What's that street? Anyway, it's still there, but it's it's a little gay bar. It's cute.
And you were getting in.
Yeah.
I want to go to the Panty Bar. I've never been there.
What? Yeah, that's where all the Brazilian guys are.
I've never
really.
Been.
Yeah. Thank God for the Brazilians coming to Ireland.
Yeah.
Just for the gays even.
Just honestly, they're stunning.
I love the George. Absolutely stunning. I remember bringing my dad to the George one night and I didn't know, like, how he was going to get on or whatever.
Yeah.
That man had the best night of his life. He still talks about it. Like,
yeah, because where else is the dad going to dance to Kylie and ABBA? You know?
And live his best life.
That's what dads want to hear.
That's all.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
They won't say it. Like,
Yeah. Always have a ball when we end up in the George. You know it's a good night when somebody turns around and goes, we go to George?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I I grew up with my younger sister, Olivia. She's 4 years younger than me, and we just didn't get on our whole childhood. I fucking couldn't stand her. She's such a bitch growing up, honestly. She knows she was. If you're listening to this, Olivia, you were a bitch. She's great now. But I moved away. I moved out of Ireland, and we just were like, do you know what? That's when I was like 23 and she was whatever age, like 19. I was like, look. Oh, it was actually her boyfriend at the time was like, you guys need to get on. Your brother and sister, you don't get to spend a lot of time. You need to just, there's no reason for you not to be friends.
Yeah.
So we decided to go to the George together. And that's where our like friendship.
Aww.
Literally, she's my best friend in the whole world.
Confidant.
And it's all thanks to the George.
Was it like the ice
bringing
just
families
broke?
Together.
Yeah. Like, that's so cute. Yeah. And he's just, growing up, he just butted heads the whole time.
Yeah. I was jealous of her because I like attention. I'm a Leo.
So we're Leos.
Yeah. So you know.
Yeah. I'm a double Leo as well.
Irrational. Yeah. So yeah. I was probably bastard. Yeah. Chewing gum in her hair. All but in fairness, she used to do the thing where it'd be me and my sister watching fucking The Den or whatever.
Yeah.
And 1800s. And she just go, ow, ow, stop hitting me. And I'm like across
and you're
the room
just
like,
sitting there?
What? And then my mom would run in, you little bastard.
Oh, because you're older, you get the blame anyway.
Yeah, yeah. She didn't have to do anything. And then she'd be pretending to cry, hugging my mom, and then she'd look at me like that. And I'd be like, she's a fucking bitch. Go to your room now. I was like,
oh my God.
Yeah, so it's all her fault.
And other than that, you grew up in Ballantyre. Mm-hmm. You call yourself the Ballantyre Barbie. I love it. How was it growing up in Ballantyre?
It was good. It's the suburbs. It felt like the center of the universe at the time. I lived there for a couple of years. Then me and my mom and my sister moved to a place called Aretto in Rathfarnham. Like near Nutgrove Shopping Centre. And we're there. That was most of my young childhood was in Ballantyre and then Rathfarnham, Loretto for up until the age of like 13, I would say.
Yeah.
14.
Yeah.
And how was school for you?
School was shit.
Was it?
School was shit. Well, actually, I really enjoyed school up until like probably 10 or 11, maybe 12. Mm-hmm. That's when kids started to figure out I was gay or that I was different. So all of my friends growing up all of a sudden turned on me and I was like the odd one out.
Aww.
Yeah. Well, because they'd been taught to, by society.
Yeah.
They probably didn't know why. They just heard in their houses like faggots and queers and vendors and all the rest. So they just knew to treat me differently all of a sudden. It wasn't pleasant after that. I went to secondary school for 1 year and I was like, I'm out of here because you're all fucking idiots.
Secondary school is the worst as well.
And all boys fucking rugby school. First of all, what the fuck is rugby? I don't even know what the fuck that is. And number two, like priest teachers and all this kind of shit.
It just
wasn't the environment for me.
So did you just have to go home one day and be like, Mom?
Yeah, you left school at 13, didn't you?
Yeah, I was just already not going in because I didn't feel safe there. But like by law, you have to go. So it's such a stressful thing for a child to be forced to go somewhere where they feel so unsafe.
Yeah. I know.
I used to just hide in the bathrooms. I would just be crying by myself in the bathrooms. I knew that there's nothing my mom couldn't take me out of school at whatever age. So I was just hiding pretty much, hiding in every possible way. That's why I started working with an organization called Belong To here in Ireland. That they work directly with schools and community centers and provide information and resources for teachers to make schools in Ireland a more inclusive space for LGBTQ kids, which
That's
is really
amazing.
Really important because like you can be as safe as you want and have a progressive family. And that's great, but once you leave your house, you're kind of like
you're in their
head.
You can be a target, and a lot of kids nowadays, whether they're immigrants, they're children of color, they're queer, outside their home can be a really scary space. So
100%.
It's really important for schools to really get on board with educating themselves and how they can support all kids in Ireland now, because Ireland is a changing landscape, as it should be. So so it wasn't that pleasant for me, but at least I can come back and try and help other kids.
That's
now,
good, that you can come back and give something that you didn't have at the time.
Absolutely.
Do you think that is changing now, like in schools these days?
Yeah, I think so. Like I came back in, I think it was September of last year. Or no, maybe it was November. I can't remember. But I did press for Belong To for their stand-up awareness week, which is their anti-bullying week. And they had schools all around the country doing like Rainbow Day, where all the kids in the school would wear different colors and then make a rainbow like in the schoolyard. It depends. Some schools... I think by law, every school has to participate, but they could do as much as that and have like resources. They could do as little as put a poster in the staff room.
And that, you know,
in the corner.
Yeah, exactly. Where, yeah. So they can partake if they want, but any school that creates a safe space for children, I think that that's the way to go. Even though there are all of these weird far right groups in Ireland who are literally protesting outside of schools, calling the resources that Belong To and what we offer as like grooming kids and try all this fucking crazy shit.
Yeah.
Someone said it really well. I was listening to a talk one time and they're saying LGBT organizations don't want to turn your kids LGBT. We just want LGBT kids to be safe.
To
survive.
Yeah, that's it.
Because if I had stayed in school, I don't think I would have survived.
Really?
I don't think I would have survived. Wow. I think I would have taken my own life. Jeez. Honestly, as a kid. And there's so many LGBT kids take their own lives.
That's
10-year-old little kids taking their own lives.
Terrifying thing.
Sorry, hold my drink. This is supposed to be a fun podcast. And I'm like, you know what? Child suicide.
No, but it's true.
And like as well, when you're in school, you're in that, of that age where you feel like you're trapped. Like you said, you actually can't leave school.
Mm. No.
So you feel like there's nowhere else.
In school, yeah.
Absolutely not.
No.
I left school at 13. My mom got me a summer job at a hair salon when I was 13, and I just never went back to school because I was just like, I can't go back to that environment.
Yeah.
It just won't work for me. But no, it's completely illegal. And I had to, between the ages of 13 and 16, when it is legal to work, I worked in about 8 different hair salons because I had to keep moving. Every time they asked for like birth cert or anything legal, I had to move.
Bounce.
Yeah. So but at a very young age, I really adapted to like meeting new people and being around adults. And it really stood to me when I, like, because now my job, like on set, it's new people every single day. So I was kind of used to that, not having one constant place.
Do you think you matured really young then?
In some ways. I definitely, I think for a lot of LGBT kids, you have like a delayed adolescence because you're not given it as a child.
Mm-hmm.
The normal developmental things that straight kids don't have to think about, they just live it.
Yeah.
We have to just watch it and know that we're not allowed to partake in any of it. So a lot of the time our adolescence is a lot later. So when I moved to New York at 21, believe me, I made up for lost time.
Dead right.
Yeah, and in life you have to figure out, look at everything and then decide what's for you and not judge anything. You know, we're all weirdos, I think.
100%. Yeah. New York is the best place for that as well.
Oh, it doesn't matter who you are.
New York's amazing.
No, no one cares. As long as you are polite, as long as you don't get in anyone's way. You don't have to be polite. If you stay out of anyone's way, grand. Like, nobody cares.
No.
Love it.
It's amazing. And about like your job now, obviously, as a hairstylist, was that something you always wanted to do as a child, or is it because you worked in a hair salon that sparked an interest?
Yeah, I was always into hair, makeup, dancing, colour, like all of the fun things. The things that were designated girl things, I always gravitated towards. Hairdressing wasn't something that I necessarily was like from a really young age was like, I want to be a hairdresser.
Mm-hmm.
But being in that environment and being around women and feeling safe and feeling like I could be myself, feel like I could be creative, feel like I could be, like that I mattered. That
they
like,
valued
I was there
you
and,
for
I,
you.
I,
know, yeah.
and I yeah. there was value to me.
Yeah.
And that was the first time outside of my own home I ever felt like I had a value. Which was great. Which was like, you know, we're not always mirrored and you have to be able to figure it out. You can't be a victim. You have to keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And hairdressing wasn't something that I had always known I wanted to do. But as soon as I started doing it, I was like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Oh, yeah, wow. It just kind of clicked with you.
Is it something about making people feel beautiful? Like, is that really rewarding? And like,
It's a combination of, yes. Yeah. It's a combination of so many different things because honestly, the first salon I worked in was like a really local, like blue rinse kind of like granny salon. Yeah, but I love grannies and I always say,
I love grannies.
And the grannies loved me. Oh. And like, I was 13. I think I was pretending I was 16. I probably looked about 10. And they all just wanted to like feed me, I'm sure.
Oh. Yeah.
And it was so cute. I just loved being around women. I just felt safe. And I was like, okay, let's do hair and chat. And there's just so much of my job that are like still from 13 years old to now, I still enjoy. It's like the connections with women, being able to be support to other people, being helpful to other people, creating a safe space for people to be able to just relax and not worry in.
Yeah.
So many different things. And yeah, and then hair itself is just such a fun medium because I'm part of a community in beauty and fashion. It just opened a lot of doors and became a vehicle in which I could live my life, live authentically, be myself, and also have fun doing it.
Yeah. So did you stay in Ireland then from 13 to 21 before you moved to New York?
You're in Paris? Sorry, fat frog break. I moved to Paris.
Yeah.
When I was about 17.
How was that?
It was very lonely. I didn't speak French. Yeah, I moved to Paris and I didn't speak French, which I don't recommend.
French, they're not really wanting to know.
Don't they?
Well, I don't blame them. If someone came to Ireland and they didn't speak a word of English, they're like, well, what do you want us to do?
Yeah,
like,
true.
It was kind of difficult because I didn't know anybody, didn't speak the language. Mm-hmm. It was my first time living outside of Ireland. And Ireland is like a safe little bubble, that we think it's the center of the world. God, if the rest of the world was like Ireland, we'd be grand. Like,
world peace.
It was a very lonely place, but it's such a difficult place to live because everyone feels like an outsider. Even if you're French, but you're just from outside of Paris, you're an outsider.
Really?
Yeah, they're very elitist. It really prepared me to be able to be on my own and to be able to take care of myself and be able to do my thing and not depend on safety from other people. I had to rely on myself for my own safety and learn all those lessons to take care of myself.
Yeah.
So when I moved to New York at 21, I was somewhat prepared for everything that came with it because New York is relatively easy compared to Paris because people do want to be your friend and are welcoming and there is so many different subcultures that you can always find your tribe there, whereas in Paris, like, it's just impossible.
It's so hard.
Yeah.
And like, how did you get your foot in the door with like styling and like photo shoots and all that when you're 16 in Paris? I can imagine me at 16.
You'd find me down.
I would be like, I'll just go home.
Sitting there. Yeah. I wouldn't talk to anyone.
I did that too. I did that some other ways. I don't know. I've just always been very bossy. I'm Leo. I've just been bossy and I always believed in myself. My mom helped me to believe in myself from a very young age and not to listen to other people. And I still don't listen to other people. But that's why I'm single. What was the question? Sorry, I'm on LA time.
How did you get your foot in the door?
Oh yeah. Like, so yeah, I was bossy. I was very organized. I wasn't organized outside of my job, and I still amn't. But in my job, I really, really am. And I remember going to Paris, and I printed out all the maps to how to get to all of the agencies because there was no smartphones then.
Yeah.
So I had to print out all of the maps with all the like subways to take and blah, 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 and all the agencies, all the phone numbers. And before I left, and then I went to Paris and I just went to every agency, showed my book. Everyone hated it because it was from Ireland. And
really?
Because they don't like any makeup.
Was there loads of blue rinse in it and all? And
no, it wasn't a book of grannies. Can you imagine? I'm like, well, this is Mrs. O'Brien. but it was just my Irish book where, like, in Ireland, we wear makeup and we get our hair done and blah, blah. In Paris, they're like, we want you to look like you've never eaten before and no makeup and like you're about to die.
Difference, like, between
it was very sad looking skeleton models at the time. So I had to completely redo my book. I had to start doing a million and one test shoots, working for free, living on, I think I was on 2 packs of cigarettes, 2 packs of Marlboro Lights, and like a €1 bottle of wine a day, and then maybe a half a baguette. So I became the rake, showing up
it's
to
giving Paris style.
It was literally, and I would do the Carrie Bradshaw thing. I was like, I would buy Vogue instead of eating a lot of the time, yeah, so I could really watch. Learn. Yeah,
learn.
Yeah, I just fucking elbowed my way to the front. That's the only way. No one's gonna do it for you in this world. You have to do it for yourself, and you have to be determined and not take no for an answer. I have, since I was a teenager, I've never taken no for an answer. No, I don't understand the word no.
No, it's not in your vocabulary.
It really isn't.
Love that.
Kris Jenner taught me, if you hear no, you're talking to the wrong person.
Love it.
But I go love to the next her. One.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's actually like a boss.
I learned so much. For everything I know in business is because of Kris Jenner.
Her.
Is it? Yeah.
She's like the smartest person ever.
Yeah, she is.
How is she in real life? Like, what's she like?
Wonderful.
Is she?
Yeah, she's a wonderful person. She's a wonderful, wonderful person.
I feel like
she'd
just
smart.
Be like a mommy to everyone.
Yeah, she exudes.
She really is. And she's been so supportive. I remember one time, so my products in the US are in a store called Ulta, which is like the biggest beauty store there. Yeah. And I was at a Kylie event for her makeup, or maybe it was a fragrance, but I think it was her makeup. And no, it was Kylie Skin. And it was this big Ulta event, and all the executives from Ulta were there because all the Kardashians were there and so forth. And I had known the team because I'd been working with Ulta with my own brand. And Kylie Cosmetics is also at Ulta, so was KKW at the time. And the CEO was right beside me of Ulta, or like a really head up exec. And Kris Jenner just comes over and goes, This boy is like a son to me. He's the most amazing hairdresser. You guys don't know how lucky you are to have him. Like, he's one of my children, like all the rest of my kids in Ulta and blah, blah, blah. And like, she didn't, like, people don't have to do stuff like that.
Yeah,
that,
well, she did.
But she has so much power that means a lot.
Yeah.
And she's just, she's an incredible, incredible human being. I have so much time for her. And for like, to be such a strong woman, to be so kind, to not have to do business like an asshole man, to do it the female way, which is strong but kind, is amazing. And she taught that to her daughters, and I've learned everything. I only want to do business like a woman. I hate men. I'm not. I
cheers
don't like
to that.
I really. I hate. I could. I don't mind saying it. I absolutely detest men. And I only want to do business the female way, which female is to way. Me the right way, and that's the way things are going to go. Hopefully,
what did you say? The female way of doing business is
strong.
Strong but kind. I love
because
that.
I think you get more out of people with kindness.
True.
You can work together. 100%. We can all feel free to be able to give our ideas, feel supported. And that's in my own brand. I'm so lucky that all of my whole team are all Irish women. I'm the only boy, and that's the only way I will never work with a man ever again. I'll never do business with a man ever again. They're bastards. All men are bastards.
And you don't want to be feeling scared as someone that you're, or like scared to say something. Yeah,
no.
Someone
on
that's
edge.
No, but like, but men are taught their whole lives to be entitled
like that.
To.
Yeah,
they can
do
whatever the fuck they want, and I don't respect straight men at all.
No.
Love it, dead, right?
Yeah. Fuck you all if you're listening. Fuck you.
We have a few men that listen, actually.
Yeah, well, they know who you are.
They might be nice because they come to get advice off of.
Well, do you know what? Allies. I'm a man, and I live in a world where I am given male privilege, and I will forever be indebted to women, and I will try to be an ally and support women as much as I possibly can, because women are better than men. And I want women to be in charge of anything they can be, in the boardroom, making the decisions. That's just the way it should be.
Yeah.
Dead right.
Yeah. Like the Barbie film.
I've never heard something so true in my life.
Yeah. It is the truth.
Honestly.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Do you know remember the first celebrity that you had? Like first
Client? Well, the first celebrity I worked with was in Ireland, was Grainne Shoiga.
Oh yeah.
I was actually on with her on Ireland AM this morning, and it's the first time I saw her in like probably 12 years. I was just started out. I had an agent, and she had just got a show on RT, like a chat show. And they needed a hairstylist, so I went in. I'd never worked with a celebrity before. It was all just like fucking Carol's catalogs with like fucking like Aaron jumpers and shit, which is great. I'm sure that's amazing for the American tourist. But it was my first time like in a TV show with the star, and there's a whole prestige around the talent and whatever.
Yeah, of course.
So it was really exciting, and I don't think I could have asked for a better person to introduce me to that world. She took me under her wing, and she, I just learned every, I've learned so many things about work. So it's like my work ethos, I think, was created through Grania. Wow. And how professional she was, how in charge of herself she was, mm-hmm. How kind she was to everybody. And I just, I absolutely idolized her. I still do. Just the most intelligent, lovely person. And unfortunately at that time, like, Ireland was even more sexist than it is now. And Ireland really did her a disservice, because, like, can you imagine having such a beautiful, intelligent broadcaster, and she just come from Sky News, and wow. And then she comes in and she knows what she's doing, and called a diva and called demanding and all these different things. Like,
I didn't really, because
it's how the system tears down women.
So yeah, if that was a man, he'd be great, yeah, and strong. And like,
well, yeah, yeah. I won't go into that part, because that is part of the story. But yeah, I think Ireland should give Grania a huge apology, because she didn't have an easy time. She should have been celebrated for the absolute goddess that she is. And it just shows you how women are treated. Like, you can be as professional, beautiful, punctual, kind, and still not good enough. But a man can walk in late and go, hey, how are you? And I was like, oh my God, isn't he great?
Isn't
you know?
He brilliant?
So, do you think it's women that make that narrative as well about other women? Because we got asked the other day about, like, hate we get online, and do men influencers get less hate? And we were like, yeah. But it's not women. But it's like, why are women hating?
Well, when the system is constructed by men, mm-hmm, and from childhood they have been told that this is the way it is, and when you're given privilege, it's kind of like racism. When you're given privilege, you automatically want to hold on to it, because it means that you're first in line.
Okay.
And when you're have you ever been, like, wanted to get out of a venue or whatever, and everyone turns into a fucking animal?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, where we have this weird defense mechanism for when we have privilege, and because we want to hold on to it, because we know how valuable it is, because we know that's the key to everything in the society that we've been born into. And so when men have made all the rules and men pass the baton to other men, mm-hmm, and a woman gets in, she just wants to get in for herself, and there's so few opportunities for women that they usually are forced to slightly turn on each other, because there aren't the same opportunities for women as there are for men.
True.
You know,
it's true.
Wouldn't have thought of it that way, but
men want women to see each other's competition, because then that's infighting between women, and then men don't actually have to do anything.
Yeah.
The system takes care of it,
and then they get an ego boost if they see women fighting for them. If it's too,
I don't know why a woman would ever fight for a man. Sorry, this is turning into the hold my drink while I fucking curse all men.
No, we've said fuck all men many a time. Okay.
Many a times.
Do you ever, would you, like, not now, but at the start, would you have gotten nervous around a big celebrity? Or, like, is there someone that you felt?
I've never been a big, like, I've never cared about celebrities, like,
really?
In that way. I've never been obsessed with celebrities. I always had my, like, loved Madonna growing up. I'm gay. Cher, all the, like, the legends. But, like, first big, like, international celebrity that I worked with was Mariah Carey in New York.
Oh, wow.
And I just had to kind of dissociate beforehand. I was like, because you can't go in there like, hi, Mariah Carey. Yeah. Like, you have to, like, kind of just...
Fangirl.
Yeah, do you have to pretend you don't know them?
Yeah, well, I is that weird? But, like, I don't walk in going, oh, I love Hero. Will you give us a bit of Hero
now?
Your
new song.
Bit of All I Want for Christmas Eve. You kind of have to go in just like, hi, I'm here to do your hair, blah, blah, blah. So I kind of, I've never really been nervous around celebrities. The only nerves are if something is very consequential. So you're doing someone to go on live TV, because like, all you have to do is scratch your head and you've got a hair coming out, and then that's in a tabloid and shit like that, and it looks bad for you. So, like, I think I'm pretty good in high pressure situations. I don't really get nervous, because I'm usually very, very prepared. I've always been told and been given amazing advice of, if you want to succeed in life, you have to be very prepared. Give yourself the benefit of being very prepared, and then show up and be present.
Be like over prepared.
And I'm always over prepared.
And do some people just sit there and not speak? Are some people, like, really in the zone for certain things?
And you have to respect that.
That's whatever you want to do.
You can take the temperature of, like, what the glam is going to be like.
Okay.
And you kind of read the room and get the feeling.
I think so. And, you know, I'm Irish, so I try to give a bit of charm and show people that it's, you know, they can relax and they don't have to worry and disarm people in that way. But yeah, sometimes, like, if someone's getting ready for a TV show, they might be preparing all the things that they have to say and remember. Mm-hmm. So you just, like, do your thing. And it depends. Some people want to have the crack because, you know, it really depends. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you just read the room. And
yeah.
I think you get ahead in my industry by just being able to be intuitive about those stuff. And I've always listened to my intuition.
And that's, yeah. I was laughing at the event the other night. You were telling you tell a story about your assistant and you were in, was it Jailo's house? And he was downstairs at the
fridge. He was, yeah. So I just, see, this is part of the, like, you don't treat them like celebrities because they're just other human beings and we're all there to do a job. But I did tell my assistant, Hassan, God bless him. He's the most so amazing, cute. The most amazing person. He's from Azerbaijan. We're going, it was his first time going to be working with J-Lo, and we were getting ready to do Saturday Night Live in New York. And we were in her apartment getting her ready, and she wasn't downstairs yet. And I was like, remember, don't call her J-Lo. Because he's like, I love J-Lo. J-Lo's a very good singer. And I'm like, her name's Jennifer or Miss Lopez.
Okay.
Her name is not actually like a birth cert on J-Lo.
Yeah.
And he's like, yes, okay, Jennifer, Miss Lopez, good. And I'm like, yes, good. And then, so she wasn't down yet. We were like unpacking the kit. I was like, will you just run to the fridge in the kitchen and grab some cold water? So he goes into the kitchen, opens the refrigerator, gets the water, closes the refrigerator, and there's Miss Lopez. And he just looks at me and goes, good morning, J-Lo. And I was in the other room, so I didn't hear. And she was like, she just started laughing, apparently. Well, that's what he says.
Okay. Oh.
And then he came into the room and he said, I did bad thing. Oh. I call her J-Lo. I say, good morning, J-Lo. Oh. I was like, you know what, that's grand. Like, you're cute.
Yeah.
She laughed. And I'm like, okay.
Okay, well, she laughed.
Very nice.
Do you have to sign NDAs with big celebrities? Is that
I've probably broken about fucking six of them already. So if I get fired, I'm going to have to get a job in the podcast.
Is that a thing in the industry? Like, is it a really common thing to be given NDAs?
What's it in case of? Okay, if they're telling in private business.
If you were to have, just say you were to have hair makeup over at your house all the time, but you had to be still working, and you had to be taking phone calls. Oh, I'm starting this business and blah, blah, blah.
You're going
to
hear things. Yeah.
Because like if you, like for instance, just say you're about to come out with a shoe line or something, and they were called fucking Hold My Drink Shoes.
Yeah.
And you were talking about it on the phone while you were getting it, like, because, you know, people have busy lives.
Yeah.
And then the makeup artist goes, oh, actually, and says something. And then you buy the handle on, you get the handle on Instagram, or you do the thing, or you tell the press something or whatever.
Yeah.
Then they're like, guess what? You owe us now $100 million.
Or they have a new boyfriend or something and they're on the phone.
Whatever. Yeah, people should have that kind of privacy when you're a professional going into their fucking home.
Their homes.
You
know? Yeah.
Yeah, it's to protect everyone. So there's just no gray area of what happens here stays here.
Yeah. And will you pick what hairstyle they get, or do they have like inspo pics? Like, I always think that's
sometimes,
what I do. Yeah. Like, do celebrities do that?
Sometimes people are like, oh, I love this singer. Like, what do you think about this hair? It really depends on what it is. Sometimes, like, for Keeping Up or whatever it's called now, the Kardashians, pardon me, it's the Fab Frogs. I'm just like, I was like, I hope I don't get drunk on the show. 3.4% alcohol.
And you're used to American alcohol, so you definitely
not. Oh, no.
That's like Ribena.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Ballygown.
No.
It's usually pretty collaborative. It usually is based on what they're wearing. And that's usually the first.
Is that how you decide, depending on what you wear?
Yeah, because like if someone's wearing like something that's like really high neck and like big or fur or whatever. Because sometimes like you have to, as a hairstylist, like if someone's wearing sequins, I can't have their hair down because it catches and then you'll have that weird hair.
Yeah.
If it's a really low cut top, sometimes people want to cover their shoulders a bit with hair, but still wear something. Showing a bit of skin. It really depends, but something like Met Gala or something like really consequential or Oscars, there's conversations from like sketches of dresses
beforehand.
Like weeks before. And you like I'll send my inspo makeup artist and everyone kind of collabs and then comes up with what the full look will be. It's kind of like, do you remember, you're too young again, there used to be a thing called Fashion Wheel. Anyone over the age of 30
and you can change her top and all,
like, so it's like a wheel and like
you color
it
in.
That yoke
Stencil.
No, it's like a rubbing. So it was like, it was a raised picture of like a couple of different heads.
Oh, yeah.
Mid- and you could use crayon.
Yeah. Am I from the 1800s?
No, I had my sister thing at it, but you flip over each, whatever top you want, or whatever hair you want.
So you make
your own girl.
Something like that, I guess. Wow. Like fashion wheel.
And say if you had two people wanting to book you on the same day, do you have a priority of who you work for? Like, do you have?
Whoever books me first.
Okay. Is it? Whoever's come first serve?
Yeah. It's not like you're on a retainer. Because I remember seeing the Real Housewives, she's like, I have makeup artist on retainer.
I would hate to be on a retainer.
Would you? Really? Is that bad?
I mean, you can't work with anyone else.
Oh, okay. So it means you're exclusive to that one person. Yeah. That's it.
I don't want to be exclusive to any person or thing or place. I'm in control of my career.
Yeah.
It's just respectfully whoever books in advance. I'm not going to cancel someone to get someone more famous.
Yeah.
Some people, I'm sure,
DM
do stuff like that.
Be like, hey.
No, all through my management. Yeah.
I always wondered how that works.
Yeah, how does it work? Yeah.
Hey, girl, I
think, my mom was like, did Kim text you to book you? And I'm like, no, Kim doesn't text me to book me. Like, six people in, like, away. Because there's so much scheduling. Like, between us, it's always, 95% of my job is scheduling.
Is it?
Honestly, yeah.
A day like a Met Gala, or like, take us through a day with Andrew, if you have like do you just go to their house, do their hair and go home, or like do you have to stay with them, do you have to touch up during the day, like,
right? Well, for Met Gala specifically, usually there's an after party, so you do wait around, and usually everyone travels because it's in New York and I live in LA now, so most of my clients are LA based, so we'll all be in a hotel. So it'll just be show, well, I've done like three people in a Met Gala. Everyone has to usually be gone out of the hotel at about like 3 or 4, or maybe it's 5, I don't know. So I'll have someone at 9 a.m. It's the someone, people hold people from like, I'd say October the year before, because the prime time is to get your hair done, hair and makeup done last.
Okay.
Right before whatever.
Yeah.
So the people who book later, they have to sit in their hair and makeup from like sometimes 7 a.m. if they really want their people who have already been booked, and then sit around in the air conditioning and just
hope.
And then people will send their assistant to like touch them up right before they go on. But it's all scheduling. It's a nightmare for me. I'm a very hippie, like, I don't like to be tied down thing. So scheduling is always, I'm just glad that there's teams of people who understand whatever the fuck that means. Yeah.
How many days a week would you work, like, doing actual hair?
8 days a week.
The brand now as well.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
I'm just always available for work.
Yeah.
That's just how I've always been.
Yeah.
I've taken one holiday in the past, since I was probably like 15 or
16.
Yeah. I take time off, but if I've like a couple of days in a row, I'm in my own bed, I'm just the happiest.
Heaven.
Happiest boy in the world. Because all I want to do is lay down, watch Netflix.
Yeah.
I just like to chill. I like to chill. Yeah. And I live, look, I'm from Ballantyre. And I grew up in the fucking rain. I live in the Hollywood Hills.
Oh,
I have a palm tree in my house.
Oh, in the house?
Well, not in the...
Oh.
Yeah, in the kitchen.
Was like, yeah.
Get me pineapples every morning fresh.
Go.
In my little garden, I have a palm tree. But I live in a place where it's all protected land all around my house. So there's no other houses.
Amazing.
So I just see eagles. I hear the crickets at night, birds, hummingbirds all around. It's so idyllic. So if I have time off and my career is so crazy, I just do nothing. I just sit.
Like, love your bliss. We like being horizontal.
I like being horizontal.
I love being horizontal.
If I can be horizontal, I'll be horizontal.
Do you know what I love? I love not talking. Yeah. I love not being spoken to and not having to speak to anyone.
Charlene said, remember we did that thing and it was like, Charlene, explain Ellie's idyllic day.
Oh yeah,
like not to talk.
She would
to
like
Ellie.
Be going to bed, not
too.
Talk to one person,
don't
speak to anyone. Everyone leave her alone.
Yeah,
Especially when your life's so hectic.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
You need that.
But after a while, like if I had a lot of time off, that has happened very rarely. I'm kind of raring to be around people after a while.
After a while,
But I'm an introvert. I'm good at being an extrovert, but I'm naturally an introvert, which means I just get my batteries filled up when I'm alone. Extroverts, their batteries fill up when they're around other people.
Mm-hmm.
People, being around people, it's not that people drain me, it's just the energy of that exchange drains me.
Of course,
yeah.
So I just love, at the end of the day, the biggest gift I've given myself is living alone.
Is it?
And just coming into my house. I used to think it would be very lonely to walk into a house.
No, I can't wait to live alone.
Oh my God. I will never live with anyone for the rest of my life. I'm not joking. I will never. Coming in the door in the evening and all the lights are off. Sometimes I don't even turn the lights on like right away. And I just walk up and I'm like, silence. Just amazing.
It is
nice. Yeah, I love it.
Do you have any pets?
They'd be dead.
Tamagotchi.
Be dead. Yeah, oh, my Tamagotchi died a long time ago. There was too many shits on the screen.
They're getting like pollution.
Yeah, literally, it's like a skull and crossbones, like about to die. And I'm like, you know what? He's goner anyway.
too busy. You couldn't.
Yeah, no. It would be unfair. And I love dogs. And one day, like my goal is to retire in a couple of years, and just have a farm somewhere and just have some dogs. Aww. I'd love a donkey. I would.
My mom always says that she'd love a donkey.
I would love a donkey. My friend Erica, her mom Kiki Stylo, she has a couple of donkeys. And when we went down the country to visit her a while ago, and I was like, can I just take a nap with it? Because there's a new little baby donkey called Pepper, and they're so fluffy. They look like a stuffed animal, and it was only this size. And it just came over to me. It was like, I just want to go, just take a little nap and spoon the donkey
and just be beside it.
Yeah, I just want to pet donkey so bad.
They're so cute.
Yeah, that's my dream. My dream is to live in a farm, have dogs, donkeys. Chickens scare me a little.
Mm. I love Bretman Rock. Did you ever see his farm?
Who?
Bretman.
Yeah, that's what I want.
That's
what
I want.
That looks like.
He lives in Hawaii. It's incredible. Hawaii is, many times.
Beautiful.
It's incredible.
Is it close to LA?
It's 7 hours flight. Cool. It's in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. It's not near anything.
Yeah.
The Polynesian island. So it's kind of far. Someone was saying yesterday that I met, that they're going on their honeymoon to Hawaii from Dublin. I'm like, that's a 17-hour flight. Go to the Caribbean. That's way closer.
Yeah. Oh, what about dating for you? Because obviously your life is hectic. Is there time for that? Are you wanting to
don't
date?
Want to date.
You don't care.
No. Don't want to date. Not right now, anyway. I went through a lot of stages in like the dating world of, first of all, being a very insecure person and allowing someone to like really kind of mold me into someone else, because I didn't understand how I never thought that someone could manipulate someone if they thought that they cared about. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I got you.
And I just never, I just never thought that that could happen. And I've been in a couple of situations where I was in like, tricky situations, let's say. And sometimes you just have to go through really fucking difficult things in life and come out the other side. And I really think that you have to, the things that you don't have choice over, you have to keep moving forward, and you have to just learn from them and take the silver lining and keep moving forward, because you just can't be a victim.
Can't dwell.
You can't be a victim. A victim is a word. Yeah. You can choose to go through experiences and come out on the other side.
And learn a lesson.
And learn a lesson and never let it happen again.
Yeah.
And I generally don't make the same mistake twice, because I'm trying to pay attention to what the universe is telling me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the universe is telling me to stay the fuck away from men right now. So I absolutely am. I am pretty much celibate. I'm pretty much haven't gone on a date in months, if not at least a year. I've been single for about almost 3 years. No interest. I just listen to my body. I don't force myself to do things that I think I should be dating. Or like, no, I'm absolutely living my selfish. Selfish isn't a bad word to me.
No.
I love being
selfish. We all should be allowed to be selfish. What's wrong with that?
Yeah. Selfish. It's just self.
Yeah.
I'm selfish.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Do you have a type if you were dating, or is like, what's it like dating in LA?
Don't do it.
I've seen TikToks and stuff about LA in general.
I just hope people in LA aren't watching it. But just, it's the...
Is it tragic?
Tragic.
Is it?
Because, well, in New York, it's good because people move there to be the best that they can be and to really learn. And it's not about your ego, because everyone lives in a tiny apartment. Everyone has to take the subway together. You can't have an ego in New York.
No.
In LA, people move there to make their life look like it. It doesn't actually have to really be your life. It just has to look a certain way. And that's what success is to them.
Yes.
Success is what other people's perception.
Yeah.
Whereas in New York, it's your own journey and no one else even needs to know. It's like kind of making your moves in silence, and then someday you can, like, whatever. So it's just a lot of people who move to LA. Native LA people are great.
Mm-hmm.
But the majority of people who live in the city are transplants, and they all just want to be famous. They want to be rich, or they want the it. The easy way to get to whatever. And that's just, I've done everything the hard way. I've done every single thing in my life. And I've never got money from my family. Like, they had no money to give. I used to send money back home. But like, I've never had to sleep with anyone for a night's like a bed, like from living all over the world. I've never had to be unkind or take anything from anyone else. Everything I have is by myself.
Yeah.
And that's taught me, and like all of those experiences allow me now. And I'm like, I don't need a man. I don't need man for anything. Obviously you can have a sex life. You can customize your life in whatever way works for you.
Yeah.
And I don't believe in one archetype for everybody. No. I think everyone should not be judged on their life's decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, I realize I don't need a man in my life. I really don't.
You're just happy being.
I am. Yeah. And like, obviously, you miss like things like intimacy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And who knows what will happen in the future, but I'm definitely not like searching. Do you remember when someone asked Rihanna on the red carpet, was like, so what do you look for in a man? She goes, first of all, I'm not looking for a man. Let's get that straight.
That's me. If I was that interviewer, I would have started.
I'm so sorry. I genuinely would have apologized.
I feel like it's always better to not, when you're looking, you'll find the wrong people.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because you'll take apps.
Guess
who's
on apps?
Yeah.
Fucking loser. Well, I'm an app. But like, just dating apps and stuff. It's just, especially in LA, it's like the lost boy department.
What would you use in LA? Is it Bumble?
I'm on Raya.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I couldn't get approved for it. God love
me. Yeah, we didn't get approved.
You didn't? What? I'll recommend you.
No, I'm not single anymore. But when I went, I
think it's
Well, you can be on the side. Oh, no, you're recorded, isn't it?
I think it's tragic in Ireland as well.
It is. I live in LA, but it's like, here's a fucking DJ in Sweden. Here's an executive in fucking Melbourne. I'm like, well, great.
Great for them. Can you not put your location on that?
You can, but it's not a location based thing.
I think Tinder, you can kind of say how far away you are and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, no.
So it's like a pen pal, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't bother anymore.
No.
Can't with the text.
Can we talk about your brand?
Yeah.
Please, yeah.
When you started the brand,
mm-hmm.
was there any like curveballs that you didn't anticipate or like any...
Was there any curveballs?
Any bumps in the road?
Do you know what dodgeball is?
Yeah, the movie.
It wasn't a curveball. It was literally
dodgeball. Did anything happen?
What are the balls from hurling?
Schlitters.
It's like, it was like getting fucking a rainstorm of schlitters. It was the hardest thing I've ever done in my whole entire life. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. Creating a brand is... I'm sure for some people it's very straightforward, because I think for a lot of like influencers and a lot of people who don't have the experience of that's their job or their trade for a long time, they kind of rely on other people, and then it's really quick because it's just based on analytics and benchmarks and all these different things. But I'm a hairdresser and mm-hmm. I want to be able to use my own products.
Of course.
And I want to be able to use my products on like the most discerning, most photographed women in the world. They have to be that quality. Yeah. And it has my name on it. It has to be the quality that I expect. I'm so hard on myself. And I don't believe in perfection, but I always strive for perfection. Mm-hmm. It was really hard. And I'm sure it was really difficult for the team too, because I'm just so picky about that stuff.
Which is good though, because you were like,
the brand wouldn't be what it is right now. If I hadn't been a total fucking Leo.
Yeah.
But I've always been that way my whole entire life. But I had to wait until, I could have made a brand so many different points in my career, but I wanted to wait until the point where I felt like I was ready personally as a human being. But having paid my dues so people would listen to me, because I do know what
you
I'm
know
talking
your shit,
about.
Like. Mm.
So I wanted to, when I did create a brand, make sure that it had all of my ideals in it.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the hair salon at 13, being given that gift by women of safety
mm-hmm.
and respect,
mm-hmm.
So I could give myself self-respect. I never forgot that, and I've always tried to be an ally to women. So I knew that my brand had to reflect that and so many other ideals.
Yeah.
So like, for instance, like my campaign is not the average hair campaign. Usually it's this like perfect coiffed hair and blah, mm-hmm. blah. But to me, the beauty industry which was created and maintained by men, given this unfair expectation of women to have like not a hair at a place, do it in heels, don't complain, bullshit.
Yeah.
Creating insecurities in women and then exploiting them to sell them things. And I wanted to just like clear the people's expectation of what hair care could be, what mm-hmm. beauty, the beauty industry could be, and not being about sexiness or a man's approval.
Yeah.
My campaigns are literally a blue sky, which to me like represents like freedom and a new day.
Mm-hmm.
And these, and my products, like giant versions of my products, like almost like monolith, really cool. like they, like hair care and self-care is something that's always been there.
Mm-hmm.
And then these women by themselves, not a group of like, here's one type of person, another type of person all together and throw them in and the job's done.
Yeah.
I wanted to showcase women in the way that I believe women are, which is on their own, strong, defiant, brave, and beautiful. In their natural state.
Mm-hmm.
So their hair is blowing wildly in the wind.
Yeah.
So there is no expectation for women to be anything other than themselves, because I believe that everyone should be given that benefit.
Yeah.
So principles like that, like I'm a hairstylist also who can do all hair types.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that you can't call yourself a hairstylist unless
you can do all hairstyles.
Yeah. You can call yourself a Caucasian specialist if you want to, but you can't call yourself a hairdresser unless someone with 4C texture sits down in your chair and you know exactly what to do. And you don't embarrass yourself and upset somebody.
Yeah.
So having like my curl range from 3A to 4C hair textures is my biggest range in the whole brand to show that there is something for everybody.
Yeah.
Hair care doesn't have to be segregated.
Yeah.
So there's so many principles, like the price point. I like most of my childhood was in Loretto, and it's a council estate. And I was in a single parent household. My mom, I saw the products that my mom was using, which were the cheapest ones that she could find in the grocery store, because an Irish mom, like they're the last in the pecking order when it comes to money. Like they don't get to spend money themselves. So I wanted to be able to take all of the experiences I had all over the world with so many different hair types, so many different types of women, and create a luxury brand, but that everybody can afford.
Can accept,
and even the girls back in the estate.
Yeah,
amazing. I love that.
And you start with, am I right saying you start with 26 products when you first launched?
Yeah, 26 products. I think most people start with, like Beyonce started with 9 or something like that, or 8. I think most people that start out with one and then like a couple of core products. But I wanted there to be something for everybody from the get-go.
And
no one to feel like they were an afterthought.
Yeah.
Because this is for everybody. And it's not only for women, it's for all gender expressions. But I really wanted everybody to feel like they can pick up a product and there's something for them.
Straight away.
But 26 SKUs, and we had to make... there's different regulations in the EU than there is in the States. So I had to make basically like almost 70 independent formulas not all by myself, but with the lab and everything. Mm-hmm. But I created all of the formulas.
Is that because of like ingredients and stuff?
Yeah, some are like banned here, some are banned there, and you have to kind of try and make them as similar as you can using different types of materials. And we were creating it during COVID, so there was this like material shortage all around the world. It was really difficult, but I'm a determined person, and again I don't take no for an answer. So they're like, we don't have this anymore, and I'm like, well,
make it.
And you said it at your event here tonight as well. Was it the first campaign that a plus size model was the face of?
Yeah, a lot of firsts, which people have brought up as a great thing, and I think it's such a horrible thing.
I was shocked to hear that was the first time.
Someone like when the campaign was just released, I had no idea. They're like, this is the first plus size model to be on their own in a hair campaign. And they're like, isn't that great? And I was like, that is the worst news I've ever heard. Because 2020, fuck it. Well, at the time, 2022, I think we started.
Yeah.
And I was like, it shouldn't be just happening now, but I'm glad. And I don't know if it's even been duplicated yet. At the first trans woman as the face of a hair brand, also an amazing woman by the name of Cataluna, who's the first trans Miss USA contestant, and a whole host of other amazing women. I wasn't casting with any kind of shape or shade in mind. It was like models that inspired me want to create hairstyles on them. I get inspired by the people that I'm styling.
I love that. What product are you most proud of, or what do you love the most? Probably like asking to pick a favorite child.
It's a bit like that.
If you could only live with one for the rest of your life.
Okay, as a hairdresser, if I only could have one product that I could use on everyone, I suppose Okay, well, the most universal product I would say is my 10-in-1 leave-in conditioner. Mm-hmm. It's called AF1. That's the product I use on everybody across the board. Mm-hmm. Whenever I'm doing hair, when the hair's wet, I use that. That it's all the things that you don't want to have to worry about. It's detangling, it's heat protection, UV protection, frizz control, shine, a billion different things. That wow. Once you start with that, you're grand.
Good to go.
But I have different favorites for different things. I have volume collection, and we have a styling spray, which kind of replaces the old concept of like a volume mousse that was crispy and gross.
Yeah.
This is like a very invisible formula, but it has caffeine in it. It wakes the hair up from the mm-hmm. root and gives that scaffolding that you need for volume that'll last, mm-hmm. but without the stickiness. I have an amazing shine spray.
I think love the shine spray.
The shine spray to me is just the most instant gratification kind of product, because there is such a noticeable before and after.
Yeah, you're just like, ah.
Yeah, and it has a kind of, I wanted the shine collection to be hot pink, because shine and the color hot pink make me really excited, and I think as humans that's just a natural thing. Feeds our eyes.
It's
or
like
something.
Energy, isn't it?
So I designed the scent of that to smell like hot pink.
It does. When you said that, I was like, it actually makes a lot.
Yeah. So
smell the color
the last,
hot pink.
The last step is shine, and it smells so like light and pink and gorgeous. I wanted something being luxury to me is not a price tag. It's about all of the details being considered and put together. Mm-hmm. So I'm really proud of all of my products, because mm-hmm. they're all really thought out. I put my heart and soul into everything. So I'm so excited now. We're available in Dunn stores. Everyone knows where their local Dunn's is.
Yeah, everyone knows.
And so that's a great home for my products in Ireland, because it's just so Irish.
Yeah.
And we're now also in the airport. We're in Terminal 1 and Terminal 2 and Cork Airport.
Wow.
So that's amazing that so everybody who is traveling through the country will get to see the product. Also online in boots.ie. I'm just proud that people back home now get to try the products. You know, that's the best part.
Is
like
of course.
The hardest part is keeping it all in for like 2 years, really developing everything. I was using products on clients, like testers and stuff, and I couldn't say anything, and I couldn't and now I can actually talk about it.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh yeah, I love this product. And, oh, you use it this way. And I'm like, oh my God, I never thought of that.
Do you have celebrities being like, oh my God, what is that? And you're like, it's mine. It's my own. It's so good.
I'm like a competition winner. If anyone says, oh, that smells amazing, I'm like, it's mine. Like this. Do you want to take a photo?
Here's what I made earlier for you.
Yeah.
I have a hair question for you.
Go on.
Is there any styles you hate doing? Any hairstyles you hate? Or like, is there any...
Any hairstyles I hate?
Or you'd look at it on someone and be like, I hate her hair?
No, I don't think about that about other people, but I definitely...
Or something that bores you or like...
Not really. Honestly, if someone wants a hairstyle that I really... either think doesn't suit them or I think is like a bit dated and a bit, I'll always kind of try to communicate in a way where we can develop something that maybe we both will maybe try this. And like, oh, I love this idea because of this, even though you're lying. I think, what about this? Because it's kind of like
just
this.
Push them.
Let's not do a side pony today. But yeah, no.
When you're younger.
Oh, my God, there's nothing worse.
With a hairband as well and a side pony.
Oh God. Yeah. Oh, I'm sure you look very cute, but like, I don't think I would do that in battle. That's not my favorite. Do you know what? I'm easy to please. I like a lot of stuff, even if stuff is kind of like tacky. If stuff is kind of like,
I'm queen of tacky.
I love tack. If I was a girl, I'd be a wag. First of all, I would have
a wag.
Gorgeous.
She's a wag.
You're a wag. Yeah. Oh my God, you're my queen.
She's a wag.
Can I be a wag? Okay, you have to tell me. You can secretly tell me who's gay after the after the podcast. Yeah, please. Oh my God, I would have the longest extensions. I would have the longest nails.
Teresa Caputo. Do you know the Long Island?
Well, I wouldn't have the duck bill one. Will I tell you a story about her?
Go.
So I was on. I was with a client on a show, some show that was filming in New York, like a daytime talk show. And she was a guest on the show. I was with someone else. I was with an actress or something in the green room and we were watching it. And she was on. And I didn't find out this until earlier. But like when you go on a TV show, you're given a producer or researcher and they kind of talk you through, okay, they might ask you this question, blah, 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 talk you through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And every guest has their own one. And so she was going out, and she was, if people aren't familiar, she's a medium who has a reality TV show in the States. She has a big, I love her hair. I think it's crazy.
So ginormous.
What would you call that? What is that hair? Like a
backwards mullet.
Oh,
beehive.
It's huge.
It's crazy. It would protect her in an accident.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
She was out in the audience, and she was kind of doing the thing where she's like, okay, I'm sensing, does anyone have a relative with the name of B and blah, blah, blah. And she was like, I sense someone's passed recently. They were young. I think they died in a motorcycle, blah, 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 all these different things. And no one fessed up in the audience. And someone was right beside the, and it was the producer backstage that had been working with her all day. And someone had passed from her life. And she just knew all of it, but she thought it was one of the audience members. And the producer was just crying her eyes out.
Because
she got every single detail and had no idea it was her. And I was like, wow, it's real. Like, it's kind of crazy. Yeah.
I think she is the real deal.
She is. Yeah. I think she's the real deal.
And that guy, Tyler Henry, as well. No?
But to me, it's hard because I want to be I'm a skeptic about everything.
I believe I love it.
I
have to be a skeptic about everything.
Yeah, me too. I just don't, but like stuff like that, I'm like, yeah, see, it is real, Andrew. And I'm like, no.
I like to be proven that it's real, but that's still in the back of my
never
mind.
Believe it.
I believe in it because I'm like, at least I can then know there's an afterlife.
Yeah.
Out to nothing.
I used to think there was, and now I'm starting to think that maybe there's not. Really? And I think that I'm okay with that.
Really?
I think there's a lot goes on. It's kind of like not talking to anyone anymore. I think.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to go reunite with anyone. I think I'm done once I'm done.
Too much talking.
Yeah, maybe by the time you're...
No, you're thinking
like,
it,
oh, there's fucking Auntie Maureen.
Oh,
yeah. No.
I think of it like movies, like the clouds and the rainbows.
And then it says
the gold
bridge.
Yeah.
And then it turns to black.
But I just don't want to...
doggies everywhere.
I'll miss everyone too much. Like,
you'll be dead.
You won't care.
No, but I don't want to be like aware that I'm missing people. Then I'll just be sad forever.
You'll just be dead. And you'll just be... It won't matter.
It's a mad
grand. We're all going to be
this
grand.
This is stuff I think about at night.
Like, I try not to. I'm not scared of death, but like thinking about it for too long wrecks your head.
Yeah.
Or
space. Yeah. Do you ever own
space?
If someone
that's
asked
you... Would you live for a year in a fucking portaloo?
No, but what if they said to you, right, you can go right now, up for one day.
In a nappy?
Just try a nappy. I never know that.
Where do you think your piss goes?
The piss would go back up. You don't have to wear the same nappy for a year, do you?
Big nappy.
I never knew you had to wear a nappy.
You have to shit yourself and piss yourself.
Like a big baby.
You're like a big baby in space. Floating baby in space shitting itself.
Never thought of that.
Yeah, you can. And now this is the worst part for me. And I love
the food.
So no. The food is bad.
You ever see the ice cream? It's like this one.
Oh no.
I think the ice cream would be, if I'm shitting myself, the ice cream would probably be least of my
least of the worst. Yeah.
But you know, I'm a sleeper. I have to toss and turn so much to get comfortable. In space, you're floating, so you can't get comfortable ever. There's no atmosphere, so you're just floating.
I'd go off my head.
That would drive me insane.
Maybe they strap themselves down, which is even worse.
But you're not. But there's nothing tethering you. You're just like,
you're still kind of
wall. You're being pulled up.
It just doesn't seem.
Well, I wonder what it would do for the skin, and so would it be good or bad for your
I don't know.
I'd say it'd be dried like the SpongeBob granny.
Yeah, your skincare would be just floating off your face.
I don't think they'd wear by the looks of things, I don't know. Yeah. But
pretty bad.
But no, but also, it's not like you're in a big glass. It's not like Star Trek where you're in a cool room and a view of Earth.
And you can walk around.
You don't see Earth. You're in a tube for a year with a load of other people shitting themselves. So I'm not going to space to answer your question. You can go to space.
You'd have to be looking at someone.
I wouldn't know.
You can get a Pampers deal.
Yeah. Imagine looking at someone knowing they're having a shit right in front of you.
No, you're in a meeting and you're just... You know when they
Oh my god, my IBS could never.
Oh no, spicy food in space.
I actually wouldn't be allowed to go.
No, Nando's.
Virgin, you're allowed to go for a day now. It's like going on a flight and you go back down.
Do you know what? I prefer to go to the Maldives.
Yeah.
Do you know what? The Earth is fucking amazing. It's an amazing place. Look at a picture of the Earth. Like, I'm not curious about that at all.
No, I'd be afraid just.
And you could be vaporized instantly.
The submarine that went.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what? I won't get on a fucking motorbike. Never mind a fucking submarine under the Earth. Absolutely not.
And they're all sitting crisscross applesauce on the end.
Nah.
No. No, you can miss me with all of that.
We do the quickfire Q.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Okay. These are quickfire questions we ask all our guests at the end.
Right, to try and get them cancelled, okay.
No, they're not. They're not even bad.
What, okay, sure.
So, what's the, oh, you have them.
Biggest ick.
Yeah.
We love an ick on this podcast.
Fuck. Men.
Love it, honestly, yeah.
They're my biggest ick. I think they're just ick.
True. Your biggest red flag in someone. Can be like
being
a friendship.
Being male, being mad. Oh, red flag. Victimhood.
Okay.
Because do you know what? Bad people are bad people, and bad people do things, and there's a special place in hell for them. But when people identify with the victim instead of the hero in themselves, it can be very toxic.
Okay.
Yes.
And then the last one was a bit random one. What is the first thing that you think of when you think of home in Ireland?
Well, I have the word home tattooed on my forehead.
Yeah, you have two face tattoos.
Yeah, just before my granny died, she died at 99.
Wow.
She's from Howth. She was literally born and lived her whole life in Howth, on the top of the hill of Howth. And just before she died, I got my mom to get her to write out the word home.
Oh, she wrote that.
Yeah, so I got a tattooed on me because my nana's house in Howth is like home to me.
Home. Yeah.
When I started therapy, talk therapy in LA, which changed my life. I didn't make any money until I started going to therapy, until I started working on myself. It wasn't that successful. I was in a very toxic, abusive relationship, and you can't just, people are like, oh, just leave, just blah, blah, blah.
No.
It's just so fucking complicated. You've no idea. Mm-hmm. So she was giving me a safe place to go to in my own mind when things were either scary or difficult or whatever, or sad or whatever. And she's like, where's a safe space, a safe place for you? And I'm like, I couldn't think of a safe place that I've ever felt like truly, truly, truly. And then I was like, do you know what? I said to my therapist, it's my, in front of the fire, my grandmother had a real fireplace with briquettes, as she would call them, briquettes. And my safe place, and I still go there sometimes if I feel overwhelmed or whatever, is laying down, taking a pillow from the sofa and laying down in front of the fire and just hearing the fire, and then no men in the house and just my grandmother and my mother in the kitchen talking. And that's my safe place. That's home
lovely.
To me.
That's gorgeous. Yeah. And then one is that Arabic writing?
Yeah. Yeah. That means
are they
freedom.
Sore on your face? Getting them tattoos done?
Well, it's a tattoo on your face,
Charlene.
So yeah, it was a bit painful, all right. Yeah.
But is it extra bad? Like on the rest of your face?
I mean, the worst place...
Like it's proper bone.
No, the worst place... Well, I have a tattoo that goes all the way around my whole... Like my ribs, my spine. That was pretty gnarly.
What about hands?
Yeah, they're meant to be
bad. I have a very high pain threshold.
Do you?
Yeah, I've just been through the ringer. So just honestly, a fucking needle in the hand.
There's nothing to shite.
Like this one, it means... freedom or liberty.
Aww.
And I got in Arabic because I lived in Morocco for a little bit, and as a proud out person, I do a lot of activism in a lot of different ways, with a lot of different organizations, but just being out and proud, you a lot of the time we, especially in the Western world, take for granted our freedoms as LGBT people, what little we have. And I get messages all the time from guys in the Middle East or guys in Africa or guys in these different countries where they just cannot, for their own personal safety, come out, have to marry women, have to do all these things because they have absolutely no choice. Because if they were to even risk meeting a guy or whatever, they could be killed. They could be killed by their government, by their police, by their, you know, it's really unsafe in a lot of the world. So it's just my belief in the concept of freedom and liberty for all of us.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much. That was so much fun. That was the best Fat Frog interview I've ever had in my life.
Yeah,
I'm not being sponsored by Fat Frog, by the way. I said Fat Frog by 40.
You might now.
Yeah, if Fat Frog's listening, I would love a deal. Yeah. So, yeah.
We have a new part to our dilemma segment every week. It's called Phone a Friend. So basically, we read out a dilemma. We get listeners' advice from our Instagram page, which is Home I Drink Pod, and they give advice to the listener. So listeners helping listeners.
That's adorable.
We're just the middleman here. So this is the dilemma of the week. Hey girls, I've been struggling with body confidence lately, and I found a message from my partner in a group chat saying how good looking a girl is, and that he has, of course, seen her latest Instagram post. She was in a bikini. I'm really upset about this. More than likely downtown, secure and feeling myself at the moment. I didn't expect that from him. Probably naive of me, as boys will be boys. I know, but I haven't said anything yet to him due to being in the wrong going through his phone. What's mostly bothering me is that he obviously has been watching her page because he doesn't follow her. Should I say anything to him as it's playing on my mind, or is it not worth it? and as he hasn't really done anything wrong other than saying another girl is good looking. And here are what the followers have been saying.
One of the first ones is, I would definitely say something to him. Leaving it aside will eat you up inside, especially that he's searching up her name. It's even more of a red flag as well.
Yeah, I agree. That would really fuck piss me off. It's the thing of, it's always a thing of like, but you look through his phone.
Yeah,
but
that like, always comes back into play. We always
talk about this. But also it's like, well,
I found him.
Yeah, exactly. So like, he's going to be annoyed, but you are still have the right to be more annoyed. Mm. So please say it, get off your chest. I've been in the same situation and I said it.
I don't think say it directly, but subtly say you think it's disrespectful when boys do it. Ooh, like allude to it and see how he acts.
Yeah, but then he could be like, yeah, I'd never do that. And you're like, well, by the way. yeah. I think you need to check your boyfriend's phone. If you need to check your boyfriend's phone, you're in the wrong relationship.
Do you think that's a big red flag?
Like? I think it must mean there's some kind of trust issue there, but also I can see why it's like tempting of just sitting there.
Yeah, just not even for like looking for anything bad between you and him, but like, yeah, he knows. What do boys talk about in a group chat?
I know. What? Fuck no, I wouldn't even want to see it.
Golf.
And they always have just weird videos and all.
Yeah, they send each other.
Men are a different breed.
They really are.
Not in a good way.
Really.
100% say to him and how it's affecting your confidence. He should be lifting you up, not her.
True.
That's so true.
Instant dump and get yourself into some uplifting confidence groups.
Confidence groups? So genius. Yeah, I think that I agree with the last one saying say it to him and how it's affecting your confidence.
Mm.
That's shit. Like,
I know.
You're just going to feel shit. And if you feel shit in a relationship, it can only get more worse.
Things will start annoying you though. Like you'll always have that like niggling at the back of your mind. Like,
yeah, or then you'll start to be like, what if he's looking at girls on nights out? Or like,
yeah,
it will kind of spiral, I think, if you don't.
Yeah, is that the word? It will spiral in your mind. Like,
if you don't address it while it's new.
Mm.
Bring it up as a hypothetical or someone else situation and ask what he thinks of lads doing that. I've done that before. But I said, this guy I was seeing was liking all these girls' pictures. I was like, what do you think of liking girls' pictures? Do you see them as being serious? He was like, well, if I'm seeing someone, I wouldn't be liking other people's pictures. And I was like, well,
hold on a minute now.
You're seeing both of us.
Yeah.
he's essentially bragging about how another woman looks at his mates. Big red flag.
Non-confrontational way and just express how it made you feel, but don't get mad. I wouldn't say a word. Firstly, it will cause an argument because it's wrong to go through his phone.
I'd have to say it would annoy me too much.
I know.
It would annoy me too much not to say it. I'd be like, why? Like, you'd have so many questions of like, why? And like, you'd feel sick seeing that.
Mm. You don't need to admit how you know. Just say you know. It's little boy behaviour.
True.
Buy the bikini and see if he likes it on you.
Oh my God. Remember you? Did you say you'd done that before?
Yeah.
I sent
the dress. I sent the dress, thing. Yeah. Read the last one now. Oh.
Remove his fingers so he can't do it again.
Perfect.
Perfect. I think say it and just. And if he's like, well, how were you on my phone? Just like, no. You can't be like, yeah, you were. Could have found it off another boy's girlfriend or anything if it's in a group chat. That's the one, I think.
Mm.
Yeah.
Say it to him.
So you can send your dilemmas into howmydrink@goloudnow.com if you have any. Or if you want to be featured just for phone a friend, put that in the subject line of the email as well. Peak or bleak of the week. This is where we do one high and one low of the week and we discuss. We always
what was that thing in school? High, low, pick a low, pick a low, pick a low. High, low, pick a low, pick a low.
And split.
Oh.
split. Maybe you're right because you split your legs. No, I don't
know. Is it?
And in the end, you're like in the split.
Is it?
I can never do them.
Oh, God.
We start with the negative because I feel like it's good to start with the bad news.
Yeah, if someone had to give you news, good or bad, what would you want first?
Bad, because I'm like, I need to know if I'm going to cry.
Okay.
Bad, my peak, bleak of the week, sorry, is... don't know. My period's really late and I'm not fucking pregnant for the time. Says it again. Every time I say that, I feel sick on Instagram. No, but it's always late, but I get really happy when it's on time because I feel like that means my body's like working, but it's late. as it usually is.
Yeah, I think you're so funny. I never know my period's coming. Ever.
I have to know.
I've never in my life known. I've never ever tracked it. Never like.
It determines my mood and all.
Does it?
Yeah, I'm very tired now because I'm doing my period.
Really?
Yeah. But then I'm ovulating and I'm like, I'm every woman. It's not. And like confidence levels, everything is like up and down at different times of month.
I don't know if mine does or not.
2 weeks a month, want to cry.
Two weeks.
Happy.
Cry. Oh,
yeah. That's my bleak.
That's your bleak?
Yeah.
I want your peak.
Peak is my song is now on Spotify.
Woo!
It got literally put on there today. This is recorded a little bit in advance, so it's be up anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's on Spotify now. It's on Apple Music, Instagram, TikTok, whatever.
Everywhere.
So just
wherever you get your songs.
Yeah. You can listen to Superstar. Just type in Superstar, Shirley Murphy.
Can't believe your name's on Spotify.
I don't know. I looked up Shirley Murphy before. It's someone else and they have a couple songs. So I don't know anyone have my name. Like, not that special. What's your peak or bleak?
My peak is that I'm going to London tomorrow.
Ooh.
Going on a little trip with
Pennies.
Pennies, yeah. Yes. So that's going to be fun. And then my bleak, I don't really have. I don't think I have one this week.
Well, I had a great week.
Great week. Lately.
Your peak needs to change.
Smitten kitten. Had a great week, yeah. Feeling good. I don't think I was jet lagged. Oh, got really sick off the flight.
Yeah, you actually weren't. I was jet lagged from Nashville for a fucking eight.
No. I don't know why it didn't hit me that hard. Maybe it was the time I flew home or I don't know.
You kind of got straight back into things.
Yeah.
I think when you do that, you're actually grand because you have to be.
Yeah, I had no choice the other day. Jesus Christ, we were out for 12 hours, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We were chatting for 12 hours.
Couldn't stop talking.
Not a word left in my head.
No, I had to put myself to bed. I was like, nothing else I can do right now.
I don't really think I have a bleak.
No. Just pennies.
The state of my landing is...
Yeah,
a bit of a bleak. Oh, I need to do it today because I'm away tomorrow and I won't get to do it till next week and then just can't be doing.
I'm going to Fruit and Fruit weekend, so I need to have a clean. Yeah.
Yeah, no. For stuff like that, you always need a clean first. It's going to be a bomb after it anyway.
True.
Can't go into it getting ready in a bomb.
No, you can't. No. Well, I'm actually getting Keen and Ellie's doing my hair and makeup, so at least I'm not getting ready in my own space.
Okay.
Which is good because it's already a mess. I couldn't actually make it.
No. Absolutely not.
Guys, that was us. Thanks so much for listening. You can go back and listen to our bonus episode, which is out Mondays. And then this video episode will come out on Thursday. So if you're watching this Wednesday, it'll be out tomorrow at 12 on YouTube. Make sure to like, rate and subscribe to the podcast. Comment on YouTube. We love to read all the comments. We love you loads.
Love yous loads.
Bye.
Bye.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.
This is an advertisement from BetterHelp Therapy Online.
It's Charlene and Ellie here from the Home I Drink podcast, and sometimes we tend to compare our lives to others.
I know social media definitely does that for me. You also hear the phrase, comparison is the thief of joy, and it is so true. Therapy can help you focus on what you want instead of what others have, so you can start living your best life.
I don't know how many times I've said therapy on this podcast.
Yes.
I literally, every dilemma comes in. There's nothing that you can't go to therapy for. Like, it just can help every problem you have.
There's no specific one thing that you have to go for.
Yeah, and I think people think you only have to go for like these huge dramatic things in your life, but it can be just comparing yourself online. True. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a registered therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
With over 1,000 therapists in the UK already, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Our listeners can get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/HMD. That's betterhelp.com/HMD.